Hey everyone, Chris Giusti here, web admin for pwponderings.com. Just wanted to note, this was a demo recorded by Kerry Offal before our senior editor, Jerome Cuson, went to China. So if some of the things sound a little dated, it's because it was recorded back then, and Jerome couldn't do the editing that he wanted to because he got so busy at the last minute. So I've listened through it. It sounds great. I've done some editing. There were some, I want to say, some microphone things that were going on, but you shouldn't hear an echo anymore. If you do, please let us know. Mailbag at pwponderings.com. We hope that this is a returning series to our network, and you know, we're enjoying putting some new audio up, getting some new writers on the website. So we just wanted to note that. Kerry also wanted me to mention that the Great Southern Revival isn't necessarily a name that is going to stick, but hey, if you guys like it, let him know. Tweet him at Kerry Offal, KerryAwful. And of course, like I said, send us an email, let us know what you think, and hopefully you enjoy it. And like I said, it'll be a returning series here on the podcast network for us. And yeah, so enjoy, and as always, thank you for your support of PWP.
Disclaimer, the views represented in the Great Southern Wrestling Revival podcast are that of the individual and the guest of the Great Southern Wrestling Revival podcast. The views expressed by the host or their guests are also that of the individual and do not represent the views of their respective lineage, wrestling school, wrestling federations, or other employers. The Great Southern Wrestling Revival podcast is here to provide informative information for entertainment purposes inside of that of the wrestling community. The following podcast will contain adult language, adult themes, and other things that may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you for making it this far. Please enjoy the show. My name is Kerry Offal, and I have no idea what I'm doing. This is the Great Southern Wrestling Revival podcast. This is just a functioning demo title for something, for some project that I've wanted to do for a long time and don't know exactly how I got to this point or what the real goal is outside of trying to show the world that Southern wrestling is alive, that such an important part of wrestling culture for years is now just, you know, viewed as something of a joke, I guess. And it's something that for a while I've wanted to just shout from the top of my lungs at all these different wrestling shows and ventures that Southern wrestling is so much more than this wrestling stereotype that people have put on it. Over probably the last like 8 months especially, you've seen such a, I don't want to call it a revival, but that's the functioning name of this demo as of right now. To kind of show the world the importance of Southern wrestling, to show that the storytelling, the art of it, the emotion of it is at its core some of the most important, if not the most important part of professional wrestling. There's so many great Southern talents that just get skipped over or passed by that people just don't know about because the South has this stigma on it, this funk, if you will. And I don't know. I've spent the last couple years of my life trying to show that there's validity in the South and that there's purpose from the South and there's love for wrestling in the South. Over however long this project takes, I've been in contact with so many different people in wrestling, whether it's like Dylan Hales, Murder One, Josh Von Wheeler, Jimmy Felcher, Nick Manawa, all these people who are so adamant about providing more information to you, the public, the masses, the wrestling diehard fan, that there's great wrestling more than just in the Northeast or the Far West or overseas or in Europe or Japan or anywhere. I guess we just want everyone else to love wrestling a little bit more of the South or the Southern style of it like we do, because there's good wrestling and there's great wrestling and there's just things that people need to know. Today on this wrestling podcast, I'll be speaking with none other than Murder One, the urban legend. You're talking about a guy that has seen such great shifts in Southern wrestling dynamics over the years. A man that trained Iceberg and Jimmy Rave and had a big hand inside of Chip Day. Someone that I consider a personal, a close personal friend of mine. And this podcast was originally recorded outside of Atlanta after the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, where Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment had an exhibition show of about four matches. We had spent the afternoon after the show going around and playing video games and talking to people, getting our Pac-Man and Smash Brothers and everything else on. And I think that was the moment I decided, like, hey, let's just do this. Let's have fun. And if people like it, they do. And if people don't like it, they don't. But at least someone might be affected by it. The recording actually happened inside of an apartment. There were many beers consumed, a very thick smoke that lay over the room, and on YouTube we played old Anarchy, old Wildside, and a little bit of WCW to get in the mood. You're going to hear some different voices throughout the podcast. You're going to hear, I believe, Chip Day chime in a little bit along with Josh Von Wheeler. Josh actually has recorded his own part for a follow-up episode, assuming that this goes well. I want to give a special thanks to Pro Wrestling Ponderings, Dylan Hales, and everyone else who's been involved in motivating me to get this done, because between work and trying to go back to school and wrestling all over the place, it's just, life's busy, man. And you know, sometimes we forget about the things that we're truly passionate about. And for me, that's Southern Wrestling. Thank you for tuning in, and let's get this thing started, right?
Josh, who's winning?
Murder.
Claudio is dominating right
earliest
now.
Fucking memories of Southern wrestling.
My earliest memories?
Like when you fell in love with Southern wrestling.
I would really say it was at my great-grandfather's house, because he used to watch Crockett all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand wrestling. But my the moment where I became a wrestling fan is when the Horsemen jumped the Rock and Roll Express and they put the fucking cage over their face and start stomping on that shit. And then another memory I have of why I was just like, wrestling was so fucking cool, is when the Horsemen followed Dusty Rhodes all the way to the TV station and whooped his ass, and then they tied his arm to that truck and he goes, "Baby, if you're gonna do it, you better make it fucking good." And then the camera cut and I was just like, y'all, I looked at my great granddad and I was like, yo, you can get paid to do this shit?
Shit.
And he was like, yeah, they make pretty nice change. And I was like, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
So, like, NWA, like...
Dude, I was so anti-WWE. F, get the fuck out. I was so anti those motherfuckers, dude. I was like, why do I want to see a goddamn giant cartoon when I can goddamn watch, you know, whatever the fuck's on NBC on Saturday morning?
Yeah.
You know, remember... You're around my age, Carrie Offer. You remember that car? Turbo Teen?
Yeah.
You know that shit? That shit like that. What the fuck? That's WWE. F. Get the fuck out.
I remember thinking, because my earliest memory of professional wrestling when I first moved, because, like, my grandmother lived in Whiteville. It's, like, outside of Memphis.
Yeah, black people there?
Oh, yeah. Tons of them. Fucking Teddy Long made a joke about Jerry Lawler when he was with Rodney Mack about Whiteville. Isn't your mama from Whiteville, Jerry?
Jerry.
And, I remember seeing Spellbinder and thinking he was like the next thing.
Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. Then they brought him up to New York and he was in the fucking bed.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh!
Fucking, But I remember, like, watching Bill Dundee and, like, I thought PG-13 was the coolest fucking shit. I remember seeing PG-13 on WWE and I was like, oh my god, I've seen them on, like, Memphis, you know?
What was... I mean, I may stray from the topic here. I mean, still right. Memphis.
We're just gonna see where it takes us, man.
What was Justin Credible's PG-13 name?
PG-187.
That's what it was. Hey, do you remember when New Jack tagged with the white dude, Mark Freer?
No.
Yeah.
Bro.
They put a Kango and a dookie rope chain on him and they thought...
What was like the local scene for you when you first started watching wrestling? Did you go to local shows when you were a kid?
No. Because when I was a kid, I was in Virginia. And I was fucking playing other sports and shit.
I never went. I went to like house shows.
I was the
first
black kid to play hockey in my town.
Oh shit, you can skate?
Yeah, I can skate.
Man of a thousand mysteries.
I can skate off in the bitches' DMs too.
Shit.
Baby. You know, in the streets, carry off. I'm just another side note. They call me Sex Tape Uno. Hardcore to the penis.
Why is that not on your fucking call list of names?
It will be.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it tonight at that gaming expo because, you know, Hardcore to the Penis may have offended some kid.
Speaking of the gaming expo, so, like, I'd say it's probably, like, 150 people there, give or take.
Yeah.
Fucking,
It was probably, like, 200 people at the whole event.
Do you think that, like, the crowd that, like... Because the target demographic for, like, an AWE crowd is not, like, your normal target demographic, right?
18-34, 21-34. What is it, Josh?
The average demographic that we're going for?
Yeah.
21-40.
21-34, that's what I read on the internet.
I feel like it's because it's an option that most people won't get. Like, when I was growing up, Memphis was racy, but we'd also get ECW sporadically. And you're seeing girls with, like, their breasts out. You're seeing blood, guts, and gore. And, like,
did you just say breast?
Yeah, breastises.
It's a titty, man. But that, fucking it's suck a, sack.
It's a fucking mammary gland. It's
it
a mammary.
It's fucking goddamn hairless beaver tail.
But that,
filled
that,
with milk.
That, to me, is
it's
what,
a wine flask, like yes. The old caveman pioneer people used
it's
to
it's like box
that.
Wine without the box.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a box, but...
It's skin wine. You ever had a titty milk blowjob?
No.
This weed's really hitting me, so... Okay, so good. Let's just stay on focus.
So, like, to me, I fell in love with the idea of Memphis wrestling, which, like...
Scotty Beach!
Oh, that fucking word, that rounded moonsault.
Scotty Beach came up way more short than that.
Scotty Beach ain't wrestled for 45 years.
I was watching USWA when it first became the first unofficial developmental, right? So I watched everybody get cycled through that motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Dude, USWA was my shit.
God, that's so good. Lawler, man.
Who's your favorite USWA wrestler?
Of all times, Lawler. That has to be.
You want to know who mine was?
Huh.
Iceman King Parsons.
King Parsons was cool.
And then right after him was Freezer Thompson.
Bro, my era was like...
You know Freezer Thompson?
Uh-uh.
He's a jobber. How the fuck do you live in Tennessee and talk about Memphis
he's
and shit?
Man, no. To me, Memphis is like... Again, PG-13, Bill Dundee, Lawler, Dutch, fucking random Fed guys getting cycled through, like, again, Spellbinder, like, fucking, that's what I remember, Moondogs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then with all that, you still have Freeza Thompson getting beat up.
Some of the great undermen, which you don't see really good enhancement guys. Memphis was smart about that, like, you keep your core demographic of your roster. And you cycle them against new outside talents. That's something AWE does that I think is really cool. Is like, you've got your AWE braided guys, and everyone comes and like wants to see these like NXT guys or ROH guys or what have you. But at the end of the day, it's not them having fantasy matches with other guys of the same fucking genre, subgenre of indie wrestling. It's first time pairing, styles clash. It's, you know, it's putting motherfuckers together that is going to be an interesting matchup.
That motherfucker, as you said, styles clash? Were you talking about the move?
The ideology.
Cause I was about to say, because, you know, we talking about the South.
Think about who the South put through in the fucking...
AJ Styles.
AJ, Jimmy, fucking, you
he
know?
Is so, he is, like, he's synonymous with Southern wrestling, like... Freaknik is synonymous with black people in traffic jams in Atlanta.
How many people you think, was it Anarchy or Wildside everybody was going through? It was Wildside, wasn't
Wild
it?
Wildside.
Delirious Seidel.
Yeah, man, that was a national company.
I heard it was in like a bajillion fucking homes. Yeah.
Dude, everybody came through Wildside. That's where I got my fucking, I cut my teeth at Wildside, bro.
The South used to be such an integral fucking part of the fucking super hub of indies, you know what I mean?
And then you want to know what happened?
Fucking the internet.
WCW died.
Yeah, power plant's gone.
And when WCW died, so did Southern Wrestling.
Yeah. You think that's your defining moment of when Southern Wrestling died?
I think so.
Well, Southern Wrestling died to the rest of the world when WCW died.
People often forget to associate WCW with the South because those are always the biggest houses, right? Like,
yeah, but they look at it.
Yeah.
When the South, I'm gonna get real with you for a second. When WCW went down, nobody tried to come up and fill that void in the South.
Mm-hmm.
But when it went down, everybody tried to fill that void nationwide, except sorry-ass Georgia.
Tennessee didn't have anything that came up until eventually TNA. I was explaining this to Josh the other day, because TNA's houses always look lit as fuck, right? There's like a bajillion people there. They're all happy about wrestling. Like, half those tickets were free, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were free.
They knew they were pushing a fucking pay-per-view DVD product. And they knew as long as the house looked live as fuck, people were going to buy the DVDs.
Yeah, buy rate. I mean, if it looks full, it looks good.
How does it feel to be, like, one of the only people in the South? Like, y'all in NWA Smoky Mountain, essentially, are the only people who push DVDs. Or iPay-per-views, or fucking, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay,
like,
okay.
Streaming MP4s. It's so smart.
Pick this shit. And this is how you look at it. The South, Georgia in particular, is like... It's what, 2016 now?
Mm-hmm.
It might as well be motherfucking 1996.
Yeah.
because niggas act like they scared to buy shit offline.
Mm-hmm.
They wait till the last minute to get tickets. And really, besides, you know what I'm saying, the fans that Josh is cultivating with AWE, it ain't no real wrestling fans in Georgia.
No, no diehards.
It's
for the
wrestling fans. And I'll tell you right now, fuck a wrestling, nigga. I don't even know what that bullshit is.
Tell me your theory about the kick punch or the fucking stompers.
Oh, the stompers? Those old, the old dudes that don't want to do shit and give wrestling the bad rap?
Start slow and taper off, brother.
You got motherfuckers that claim to be like, okay, real talk. If you go out there and you have a match and you bleed every match, mm-hmm. guess what that makes you look like if you wrestle in a fucking scrub? It makes
a
you look
pussy.
Like a bitch.
Yeah.
And this is what these motherfuckers do. They think, oh, God, I can't wrestle, but I can hit a motherfucker with a chair.
Concession stand brawls every fucking card.
You know what I'm saying? I can't wrestle, but I'm going to go out here with this goddamn rated R superstar belt.
And you know what's crazy about it is they're the ones telling all the young kids, don't be creative, don't study outside the box, don't fucking pursue and push yourself. Where you see all these amazing schools and amazing, like, upstart kids in the north, like, I feel they take for granted the accessibility of having these super indie darlings an hour away, 3 hours away. But when Nick and I started traveling, I told Nick, outside my first year of wrestling, when we decided we're going to do this team, I was like, we're going to hit the road as much and as far as possible. And it'll pay off. People will make fun of us at first, but they're going to respect us by the end of it. That's how we learned. Met strangers, fucking set up rings 6 hours away, maybe get paid to do a dark match, normally don't get fucking paid.
I came in, I got a raw deal, but I'm not going to say a raw deal. I'm not even going to say that. But I was trained a certain way. You know, fundamentals.
Yeah.
All fundamentals. Bruh, the dude that taught me how to wrestle, a high spot for him would be a tackle drop down leapfrog hip toss.
Fucking Memphis.
But when I was coming in, wrestling started shifting and going through a little change.
Are we talking like ECW or fucking Blood Guts? Are we talking before that?
You had some lighter going on, you know, when they hit a fucking
Super Juniors.
A moonsault. I remember when a motherfucking moonsault was, let's just up. Just fucking clear the shit.
Mind blowing. I remember watching Scorpio as a kid on WCW Saturday night and just having my shit blown out.
When that motherfucker hit the 450 for the first time in the Clash of Champions.
Or the tumbleweed leg drop and just being like, why does no one do this out here?
But then, you know, boom. I was an athletic kid. I started trying to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? I saw where wrestling was going.
How much turbulence you hit, though?
I hit turbulence every... That's what I was leading up
Nobody
to.
Nobody wants to take
Nobody
it.
Nobody wanted to do this shit. Nobody wanted to do nothing risky. You know, fuck it, man. At one point, a motherfucking suplex was risky.
A superplex was mind-boggling, you know?
See, let me get it. Yeah, exactly. You could work a headlock for 3 fucking days, and that shit would work. You can't do that shit now.
No.
And motherfuckers don't see it. Motherfuckers get mad, but the game is evolving. And I live by the apocalypse theory. It's survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people can go around this motherfucker. That's why I like AWE, because niggas can go.
It's such a different product, but it combines, like, to me, it keeps this new wave of, like, hyper combat sports. Because to me, that's what wrestling is now, is it's almost a combative sport, and I know that's, like, very fucking Victory Road style, fucking, you know what I mean? Or strong style, or fucking whatever you want to call it. But, like, the UFC, I think, had a big hand in that, for better or worse. But these other guys want to do the fucking put, you know, wipe your hand on your, you know, junk and dick and put it on their mouth and laugh for 10 minutes, and then...
I'll beat a motherfucker's ass if he grabbed his raw-ass dick and put his hand anywhere near
him. I can't say nothing. I've done all kinds of fucked up stuff.
Yeah, but you ain't never did that shit to me.
Yeah, fair enough. I
don't give a fuck if you grab your butthole and stick a finger and stick it in somebody else's mouth. Just don't do it to me.
Yeah. I miss wrestling. The reason that I loved fucking ECW wasn't just like the blood, guts, and violence and shit, But it was always really personal, really intimate, fuck you storylines. Like, who cares? Or their guests.
Quick editor's note. So we went on a pretty long tangent about different plot points and ideologies of, like, former Southern Wrestling Federations at this point. I just kind of condensed it to save time on the podcast. Back to the discussion.
Someone plows your old lady or whatever, and you're mad at them, and now you're going to have a fucking match, and you're going to get color, and now you're going to have some kind of gimmick, and you just ramp it up, you know? But the base story is, he fucked your wife. What are you going to do about it? Or, my son is being a piece of shit, and I want to spank him, but he's trying, and then he just does something so fucked up that you're like, I love you, son, but fuck you, and you just hit him.
And you push him through a flaming table.
There's promos about fucking Jamie Dundee on Bill Dundee. I fucking hate you. Like, WWE doesn't do, they do fake live sex shows, but really, like, my favorite storyline out there with Matt Hardy and Edge and Lita, and he plugged her. That was so personal and so venomous.
The Rated R Superstar.
I think
that's the day Matt Hardy got broken.
Yeah. I love that he looks like Beethoven right now. I think he did it by design to get
Sweeney
heat.
Sweeney Todd looking ass.
Yeah, brother. He looks like George Washington.
I'm sorry, brother. I ain't trying to roast you, but I am trying to roast you.
I ain't trying to roast you either. I appreciate
that promo was
deal.
Fucking garbage, though.
I loved it. I thought it was hysterical. I think he made it. I think he made it that way.
Was it supposed to be funny?
I think so. I think it's just supposed to be so oblivious, you know?
Hey, he lives in North Carolina, so basically this is still talking about Southern wrestling.
Yeah, I like that.
Loophole.
Did you ever think, like, the day would come when, like... I remember when, to me, Middle Tennessee didn't die necessarily in classic form. Because there was some cool shit that happened later. Bird actually brought in, like, Shane Helms, Shannon Moore, York and Matthews to, I think it was MCW. No, it wasn't Music City Wrestling. It was USA.
That was Music City.
Was it Music City?
Yeah.
Les Thatcher and Dutch had the book there. That was actually the first way I talked to Dutch was on AOL Instant Messenger. His screen name was Sozio Dutch, and then got to train with him later. But fucking, I remember, like, the Tennessee... This is so goofy. The Tennessee Vols, one of their members actually trained Iggy, Reno Riggins, originally.
Reno Riggins, man.
Yeah, he was a fucking Fed journeyman and stuff.
I used to watch Reno Riggins get his ass whipped.
On Fed, yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
Hey, if you're good at something...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Nick sells so good.
He wasn't a foot stomper.
Yeah. Reno put the work in.
Reno Riggins, yeah. Reno Riggins was everywhere. He was in USWA, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Him and Steven Dunn, fucking Tennessee Vols, same Dunn from Well Done.
Yep, Well Done.
I remember when I couldn't watch USWA in Nashville anymore, I remember thinking something is really, really wrong. We still had Burt's show, because normally they would be like a doubleheader of like USWA, then Burt.
Yeah.
And then I remember Burt not having TV. I had to stay up on Sunday nights till 3 a.m. to watch Dutch and Les Thatcher's deal. I think Reno was in it too. I know the Vols were Music City Wrestling. And then that disappeared. And then it was just like it just stopped existing one day. Memphis, you can't even. I've heard the guys I know from Memphis. What used to be like the end all be all. Like that would be like going to Florida now is going to Memphis. You know what I mean? When the WWE, after USWA, and they put in that Memphis Wrestling or whatever, William Regal, Daniel Bryan, Reckless Youth. How nuts is that? All on one roster for the WWE as developmental.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. Can you, like, I mean, outside of, like, James Storm, because, like, TNA used a lot of northern guys, a lot of Michigan guys, a lot of, you know what I mean? All that, like, northeast crowd from, like, Ring of Honor dudes,
and
but,
see,
like...
They stayed away from the south. Yeah. Right? Because of the motherfucking foot stompers.
Brother. I remember being so bummed when TNA moved, man. It was heartbreaking. Spent my high school years going to the asylum, geeking out.
They were your home team.
Yeah, and it's like watching, you know, they never won the big one, put up all the chips on it. What for you, like, WCW dying, you said, was your view of watching local wrestling die? Did you just watch, like, a transgression, like, or not transgression, but was there, like, a degeneration of the local wrestling quality also? Like, do you feel like people just relied on old methods and easy work and, you know what I mean?
The shit, it was it never changed. It's like, it was still a good old boys network.
I remember MLW popping up close to the tail end of Local Wrestling 9 in the South, down in Florida.
You said global?
MLW. Oh. Where it was like kind of new ECW, but like Punk was there.
That. They had the SATs and shit.
Yeah, man.
And the Extreme Horsemen.
Yep. What were some of your, going through this transgression, like, who do you think was keeping, like, the torch alive with you down here? Like, who was beating the drum saying, we can still work a forward-thinking style? No one? So you said,
okay, forward-thinking style people, there was Todd Sexton, at the time, it was Gabriel, cat named Azrael.
Is that the Azrael from Ring of Honor and FIP?
No.
Different Azrael?
Yeah. He called him the catfish.
Yeah.
And you had niggas like Sal Renaro and Jimmy Rave.
Because you taught Jimmy how to wrestle, right?
Yeah.
What did he say? You just give him tapes and where you're like, watch this. Did he come to you with that material? Was it your influence?
With
like
his whole style?
Yeah.
Man, all I had to do was teach that boy how to wrestle. And he had it figured out. He knew he wanted to beat Jimmy Rave when he stepped in the ring for the first time to train. He told me, I want to call myself Jimmy Rave. I said, that's a stupid fucking name. But then he showed me, he said, I'm going to wear these silver pants and wear these shirts and all this shit, and it's going to be a fucking party, like, ecstasy giving. I was like, shit, nigga, you talking drugs.
Yeah.
It should get over.
So you trained one of those wrestlers that was, like, game-changing, right?
Yeah.
You get Iceberg. Iceberg went up to CZW a little bit and stuff like that, and he, of course, a legend for Barons and everything else.
Iceberg was in TNA for a minute.
Yeah.
Till he didn't want to fucking job somebody out, they fired him. I think that the story went.
He told me that story too.
Cause respect gets you no fucking way in wrestling.
What do you think about respect in the South in general? Between not even the fans, but like the boys, like
there ain't no respect. Except it's my clan. We got respect, but these other motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? They ain't got no respect.
Be kids who leave shows early. That's a problem.
Or motherfuckers that don't show up to them when they're supposed to.
Man, call out of their bookings the day before. Like, that's so casual down here.
Who the fuck misses two motherfucking bookings in a row?
If it was like your first...
Somebody that ain't into this shit.
What if you were booked at a job and you just called out no-showed a couple hours before your first day? You wouldn't have a job, man. And all these southern promoters let it slide because it's like their cousin or nephew or what the fuck ever.
That's another motherfucking thing. That's another motherfucking... People forgot to treat pro wrestling like a fucking job. They treat this shit like a fucking hobby.
It's not right.
That's what these fat, stank, motherfucking fat bastard Chris Nelms motherfuckers do around here.
I had such a hard time getting people to believe that I was dedicated to wrestling, even with traveling so much, because I looked like shit and they knew I was from Tennessee. They just assumed, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, what the fuck? And see, that's another thing. Everybody down in the South, a lot of people... didn't even give a fuck how they look. They would go do their mechanic job and show up to the show
in mechanic clothes, greased out shit,
and then go wrestle in mechanic clothes.
Yeah, that's fucking sad, bro.
And then call themselves something like the Terminator or something.
Bring their fucking girlfriend or rat in the locker room who has no fucking business there.
Motherfucker roll up looking like one of the fucking Pep Boys and go straight, and they'd be like, what's your gimmick? You're a mechanic? No, I'm a gladiator from the future.
Yeah, my name's Spartacus, but don't mind these Valvoline tights.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shit's weak. I don't feel like you see gimmicks anymore down in the South outside of, like, there's a couple of places where you see people really trying to cultivate something, but they're either wrestlers or they're just fucking guys, you know?
Yeah.
What happened to having, like, some kind of fucking, something about you, like, I like my mask and stuff and being a mutt and being like this weird savage like piece of shit, like that's like my gimmick. My character though is that I'm nasty and I'm rude and I'm gross and I'm fat and I'm ugly and I sit on people and I beat them up and I try to fucking sit on their back, you know.
And it's awesome.
But you'll see for everything like that, you have a guy go, what's your gimmick? Oh, I'm a wrestler. What the fuck does that mean? I'm a wrestler too. Everybody wants to be like these like technical masterminds. Of course, like I say, I as derogatory as some things about the South are, like, I know that's where Nick and I made our niche, is finding some happy medium, you know, stack the falsies at the end. Sell. A lot of teams don't, a lot of people don't sell.
Yep.
And that, to me, is such an integral part of wrestling.
Everybody want to be a fucking superhero.
Yeah. Worried about spots instead of worried about getting the deal. And the spots aren't even that convoluted or complicated or transitioning. Yeah.
I'll do whatever you need me to do. Yeah. Pay me to fucking pay me.
I'd rather have a guy show me an emotion in a match that I can play off of than telegraphing a spot.
Yeah.
That's Southern wrestling. That's something you don't see a lot of places. And that's just... it's such a lost art to me. The art of telling a story, even. People don't think about, like, what happens 3 or 4 matches from now. They think about, like, what am I doing this week? How many Southern places? I booked a little bit. You currently book AWE. And my big thing was I want continuity. Because Tennessee will just give you something to make the crowd laugh or pop or whatever one time. And it's just like, who's here tonight? He this, and this. When I had it, I told the line, I'm like, you can't be here. Go. If you're with me, you're staying for at least 6 weeks. We're doing a story for the 6 weeks. You'll wrestle a couple of guys, but you'll be in one story with one guy.
Right.
And we're just going to interweave what we can.
Exactly.
Everything's an exhibition match. It's why. There's no reason to fight. Why fight? I miss that.
Because everybody wants it to be first name, last name guy.
Yeah.
I'm super serious.
I'm a shooter, bro.
Yeah. Everybody's a shooter. Until you break their fucking ankle.
Yeah. What about Southern money, how people pay out in the South normally? House is down, brother. I can't get you. Well, you never got me higher when the house was up. You know what I mean?
I've seen a lot of people like that, too. Like I said, now, nobody wants to take a chance. The only thing they want to do is set up shop in their hometown.
Where they'll get the same 30, 40, 50 people with their kids. And which is fine, because if you're leaning from a business aspect and that's all you want to keep your own business open as a vanity promotion, so be it, you know.
That's what it is. And then you get mad when something else comes along.
What were people saying when y'all started AWE? I know they were talking shit. I've seen, like, we didn't come, when did we come in? The tail end of season one or the start of season two? We came in at the start of season two. But, like, any promotion, like, y'all took it from, like, y'all strapped up the boots and you said, all right, we're going to put some work into this. Such a progressive product. So many, like, amazing things and dynamics about it.
Everybody wanted us to fail.
And it motivated everyone as a team, as a squad.
That's why I said nobody fucking respects nobody. But then when you show no respect to these pieces of shit, then they're not going to. They evaporate in each other's chest.
Yeah, it's like a 30-second chop battle on.
But you know what I'm saying? Everybody fucking wants you to respect whatever, but then they'll turn around and talk shit about you and disrespect you, and then when you fire back, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'll be a piece of shit.
Yeah, but you'll say it to their face. You don't give a shit.
Yeah, fuck these people, man.
When was the moment that you realized AWE was doing something special? Like, you just saw this... Everyone has those, like, paradigming shift moments when they're watching wrestling or watching themselves or watching their friends where you have a distinctive viewpoint change. You see something and you believe it and stuff, but you see something in a new light. What was that for you with AWE?
Let me think.
I mean, there's so many great moments. There's, like, the rise of Chip Day, the resurgence of Jimmy Rave, Martin Stone from, you know, getting ready to quit wrestling to rediscovering his love to being booked everywhere, showing the world, you know, he's as good as everyone down here thought he was. You know, getting back on NXT, killing it in Europe with Pete Dunne, I'm sure, right now.
Fuck.
The hierarchy's death grip on Atlanta. The reason I like the hierarchy angle so much in AWE is it's also a social commentary about the state of wrestling in the South. Don't you understand it's in our hands? This is what we do, and we're better than y'all. And none of y'all think for a fucking second that we aren't fucking sleeping on all the bullshit, you know? You know what they're saying, and it fuels the passion. To blend the lines, like, to not go with classic baby, classic heel, opens up so many different... It takes it from good versus bad to soap opera-y. Someone can fuck someone at any time, and it's defined by their character, not that they're just good or just bad. Yeah. It's a personality trait by that point.
Because there's not... You show me a fucking person that's 100% good.
Right. Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, right around here, Murder and I went on about a 15-minute rampage of just ethics among pro wrestlers. We decided to cut this out as editor note 2 because it just gets really graphic and super off topic, super funny. Maybe it'll be on an outtakes day or outtakes cut. But anywho, back to it.
Elapsed time.
Yeah.
She sort of like the sun, like in the Blade movies, but she was like. So, yeah, man.
I think Styles going to the Fed is one of the most important things that's happened to Southern wrestling in the last 10 years. You know, it's one of our guys on top.
But you want
to
know what was funny? When Styles went, everybody acted like they knew his ass.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure people are the same way with Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods doesn't get a lot of credit for being a Southern guy. Like, I remember checking him out at the Asylum thing for Barons quite a bit, correct? Yeah, a lot of people just forget because he's so highly educated, because they don't assume that anyone from the South can be highly educated without a Southern draw. Everyone thinks we sound like Foghorn Leghorn down here, and that's our characters.
I think everybody thinks we sleep in, like, shacks, yeah. And there's no grass in Georgia.
That every one of our wrestling matches is at a what's it called? Not a fair.
A flea market?
Flea market. They think it's all flea market, yeah. They think people are in their Sunday best with fans.
For real, and I ain't trying to. Like Rhett Butler. Yeah. I'm not even trying to be funny as shit, but I hear a lot of people say stuff about Tennessee and Georgia about being cousin fuckers.
Yeah, people's big thing about Southern wrestling is they believe all the promoters are gay and will sleep with you for money, which like I have never. Everybody hears it. Nobody sees it happen, at least on my side, because I've never put myself booked into situations like that.
I bet you everybody not from the South thinks every white person looks like Ted Turner.
Yeah. In the state of Georgia, maybe.
And wears, like, white suits everywhere. Yeah. Everybody looks like Colonel Sanders.
People used to talk about how, like, Southern professional wrestling was equivalent of going to church. It was a mass religious experience. It was cathartic for him, right? So, like, that was one cool thing I saw when I went to TNA, is it was bringing fans together and making them friends and family. Like, people from complete strange walks of life, in different economical situations, and different religious beliefs, whatever, start becoming texting buddies, and then they have, like, Wednesday night, we're gonna watch this on YouTube night, and parties, and whatever. AEW is the first time I've seen that. Like, in Southern, smaller federations, you'll see it, but it's all friends and family. These are complete strangers, man. The AEW diehards remind me of the old TNA heel section in its own, like, cute way. You know what I mean? They're guys who just, like, they're there every show. They eat it, they breathe it. This is their life just as much as it's our lives. Mm-hmm. And they're so, like, they're courteous and respectful, but they also choose who they want. Like, it's like ECW in that aspect, or USWA. Like, your favorites are still your favorites, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the special moments I've seen at AWE was the streamers, because that's, like, such a foreign concept in the South. You see it so many places, and then you saw it at AWE, and I remember thinking, I was at gorilla position for that.
You said they masturbated last year.
Yeah.
And it just went away for some reason.
They should. I'm gonna convince Jesse to bring it back.
That's right. It went away because other shows started doing it, Murder Till the Fans stopped bringing them.
Oh, smart man, take it away.
Everybody started fucking throwing streamers after we did it.
I still want to do it. I think it's awesome.
Hey, they brought him last show.
Yeah, Martin get the shower.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Streamer Madness Man is coming.
Yeah. He's another Southern boy.
Streamer McPartyson.
If I had to put, like, the top, like, not the top Southern wrestlers, but the most dominant, like, Southern wrestlers for, like, I guess more of this, like, this crowd for, like, pro wrestling ponderings or a kick out of two, I hate using the term smart mark bookings, but we'll say dominant U.S. indies. You're seeing some more Southern guys start to come out of that. Recent appearances from, you know, from Chipper up at CZW, you know, Ethan Case, Anthony Henry's Georgia too, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Him with Amber Young, daughter of David Young, you know. Yeah, you know, you have a hierarchy doing things too, like.
Quick editor's note 3. Man, I'm really unprepared for editing this. All these names that we mentioned, plus a plethora more, go out and search them on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I think I said YouTube, but YouTube again, because there's great matches and interviews and promos with them. Definitely worth your time to do that. So, I think this is the last editor's note. Let's finish this out and get to the last tail end of this podcast.
So we're talking about like Southern wrestlers. You look at the previous class being guys like you, Jimmy, AJ, David Young, I think is a great example. Kid Cash was a little bit before. I mean, like, maybe Kid Cash and you, like, same time frame, different areas of the South. You know, because there was that.
You mean David Morton?
Yeah. Some people say that. I've never asked him because I'm too scared.
That's true.
He's a tough man, dude. So, like, this would be for a different spot, but, like, let's think about, like, the generations of Southern wrestlers that went out, like, Jarrett, Brian, Christopher, PG-13, that was, like, a clique that got the deal for a minute, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
AJ, Jimmy, David Starr, you know, Uberg, Corey Chavis and John Davis? They probably came in at the tail end of that, right? Or is that about the same parallel? About the
same parallel.
And then you just see this lull, you know, until
it just
now.
It dropped off.
Tennessee was the same way. It was like the Naturals, America's Most Wanted. Abyss was a North Kentucky, Ohio guy, so I don't really count him. But it was that, and then it was just not. You know what I mean? Eric Young, Eric Young came to Canada, but from what I remember, I always heard he lived outside Nippers Corner, which is like a suburb of like South Nashville. And I know he still lives in Tennessee to this day. But Eric Young, I would consider him a Nashville guy. I remember watching Bobby Roode with the Jerry Curl. That was like the class of that era, right?
Uh-huh.
And so now you got this new era, right? You got like Chip Day, myself, Anthony Henry, Iggy. Me and Iggy are just together. That's what I should have said. Black Baron, Gresham. Gresham really globetrotting and everything. That's pretty big for the South.
Yeah.
Fox. How can I forget, forget Fox on that?
Gresham's not a Southern guy anymore.
No, he don't claim it. He says he's booked out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think that's what makes him unique.
He refused to work in Georgia for years.
Man. Black Baron, he's doing stuff. Kiera Hogan, as a female wrestler, Priscilla Kelly, you know. Silent side down there, being quiet in the corner of the room.
He's pouting. He's being forced to watch the grappling arts.
But that's how you get better.
A Mugatu. Shaka Bean.
What do you see Southern wrestling in the next 10 years? What do you see? The Death Grip Titan done for AWE in Atlanta? Right by the peaches.
I see it.
Paulie getting into knife fights for money on iPay-per-view.
Like a Beat It video.
Yeah, brother. He gets someone else since they like to like refurbish gimmicks to be like Southern, like Hank Amora.
Yeah, I think Paulie's next gimmick is gonna be Paul Omega. He's gonna tag. He's gonna tag with his son.
Damn. Jesus. What do you see? Where do you see AWE at in like 5 years?
I hope it lands on Paulie like a house.
Yeah, like a weird, like yeah.
Like on Wizard of Oz.
Yes, sir.
Now I see AWE doing what it's doing now, growing and being the premier organization in the South. Because people got to think. AWE grew organically with wrestlers that nobody knew,
yep,
except for a few. And then Josh took the chances.
Making new ass stars. I see Slade Porter being a big deal in 5 years for AWE.
Man, Slade Porter is the South right now.
Dude, he's a hotness. I see new stars like Owen Knight. That's going to be this guy. He's going to be a deal in the South in 5 years.
Yeah.
Kiera Hogan's going to be a huge deal nationally probably in 5 years. Priscilla Kelly, Adrian Armour, Psy, like, they've got this place where I'm sure, like, that it's so hard to get put in places where you have angles, you know what I mean? Now they're getting the chance to tell stories like real professionals. I see Josh screaming like a chicken with his head cut off, yelling about shit, sweating in his shirt, pitting bad, worried because he cares that fucking much about the product, worried because he fucking loves it and wants wrestling to succeed in the South. I still see you toting a gun saying, my way, or get the fuck out, fuck you, this is wrestling in my mind, and while we're doing this, this is how wrestling's gonna be. You don't want these motherfuckers, I'm gonna throw it in your face when I show you what they can do.
And look what my mind's done.
I see TV. I see more DVDs. I see more mention of Southern guys at higher spots. I don't see Chip working here that much because his schedule is going to be too busy doing major dates somewhere. Yep. I see me and Nick being sad and bitter. And opening up the card. That's all we got, brother. It looks like I lied to you. I think this is where the audio just cuts off. But we continue to talk about our friends and where we dream and hope that they end up to eventually.
You're too good and too dynamic to not be.
Oh my god, we made it through. If you want to follow my friend, the urban legend Blacklist Uno on Twitter, please do that. He posts great things about professional wrestling, twerking, rap, and other shenanigans. If you want the adult content, feel free to add him on Snapchat. He is listed as Dr. Doom for the adult-oriented theme fans out there. Make sure you check out Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment season finale, Keeping It Real. Fanatics Arena is coming up here very soon, where we defend our AEW tag team titles against the Kraken of Chip Day and Murder One. If you want to catch us this week, make sure to check us out. We'll be at Full Impact Pro on July 8th, 2016 for Declaration of Independence. You can go on to that live at Orlando, Florida. And if you can't be there, don't be scared to get on your Roku to the WWN Live Network and order it, because it's going to be awesome. Us, the Cardies, Team IOU versus our longtime arch rivals, the Outlaws, Devin Mason Cutter, the Hooligans. It's going to be pretty crazy. Biggest stage that we've had to perform a wrestling match on the independence for us, I guess. We're going to go crazy, do stupid stuff, and probably get hurt, but that's part of the educated risk and what we do to entertain people. If you're in the Northeast and want to check out Team IOU soon, we're actually going to be in Tier 1 the following Sunday, or that 2 days later, I guess I should say, for Tier 1 Presents 1 year later, Sunday, July 10th in Brooklyn, New York, where we take on the new Heavenly Bodies. See, Southern Wrestling, but up north in the Northeast, Heavenly Bodies, Smoky Mountain, that's good stuff, man. Don't be scared to add me on any social media. It's going to be at Carrie Awful for Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Facebook is maxed out. Some time between doing chores around the house, wrestling, figuring out school, and life in general, plus working, maybe I'll get time to do a fan page for me and Nick. But regardless, thank you for listening. Thank you to Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Thank you to my personal wonderful sponsors, Fully Gimmicked and Grappler Brand. Two companies that believe in me, and I believe in them, and I love them dearly. Hopefully we'll get to a part two of this one day, 1 year, 1 month, whatever. If this never sees the light of day, we'll probably end up putting it on my YouTube and just send it out there. But thank you, everyone. Man, I've used the wrong words in this. How many times did I say transgressions in that podcast that was completely out of context? Oh, well, that's part of it. It's the raw human experience, right? That's what the other guys say. Thank you. Have a wonderful time, and thanks for tuning in.